Yeah, God, I pray, Jesus, that that this morning, Lord, that we would see you better than we did yesterday, that we would see you clearly, God, and that we would walk away desiring to be known by you and to know you more than ever before, in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool, so I'm going to share a story of my dad. So before I share something of him, I want to describe what he's like. So my dad, do you know the statement where it says, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? That doesn't apply to my father and I. Like, doesn't. Or the statement, maybe, somewhat. Or the cut from the same cloth. Nah, we are not the same in any way. So a good example of what my dad is like is actually Uncle Alistair and Nadia. So what Uncle Alistair is like in his softness, his quietness, his temperate. My dad is something like that. I'm more on the, hey, let's party, put out the music, invite everyone over, open the windows, come, come. My father's like, why? You're just making a noise. So we are very opposite in our thinking, opposite in how we do things. And to take it even a step higher, my father is someone who can do probably everything. Like plumbing, electrical work, build a house, build a car, build a bear, all the above. Like literally all the above. Think if there was a series, MacGyver. That is a good example of what my dad is. Me on the other hand, I am the opposite. My father often says to me, your hands are round. Like round, round. Well, I was so impressed with myself one day, and this is like bare minimum fixing or bare minimum of repair work. My specs broke one day on men's camp, oh, not men's camp, church camp last year. And the arms fell off, and I was thinking, how am I going to fix this? Because it's costly to fix by the optometrist, yes, that's it. And I thought, let me go buy a cheap pair of specs on the side of the road, and let me screw in new arms. And I was like, Dad, I fixed my specs. I was like, Dad, do you know I fixed something? And he was like, you did. And for one moment, we were both proud. And I was like, wow, that is really, like, this is bare minimum screwdriver skills. Now, that's an example of how opposite we are. And, you know, actually, growing up, we were so different that in some ways, we didn't always connect very well because how we would think and how we would do things was just opposite. And for a large part of my life, I thought that, up until 2 years ago, from the age of 24 up until 2 years ago, I thought, 2-3 years ago, I thought, like, if I was a race car driver, me and my dad would get along very well because then I could be able to relate with him in all these things because that's like his hobbies. And I thought to myself, if only I was like that, maybe we would speak longer or maybe we would relate better. I would have stuff to speak to him about. And I carried that lie throughout for 3 years. So whenever I'll be with my dad, I'd say to him, because I wanted him to be proud of me, because I'm not like him in any ways. Like, I'm the opposite of him in our thinking, in our ways. He's blue, I'm red. They don't go together. And I thought to myself, whenever I was with my dad, I said to him, Dad, I'm doing my first preach. And he'll be like, oh, I'm so proud of you. And for a moment, I'll be like, ah, we're connecting. But another time, I'll be like, hey, Dad, we're leading a comm now. And he'll be like, oh, I'm so proud of you. And we'd speak for a little bit. And I'd always want to show him that I was worth something because I didn't know how to relate with him in any of the other things. And then one day God came to me and he said to me, you have everything in common with your dad. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, you have Jesus in common. And that moment, something shifted in my heart and I was like, I know what you mean, God. And that day I went to him and I went to my dad and I said, Dad, can I make us tea? And he said, nah. And I said, come, let's just sit together. And we were sitting. And as I'm hearing him speak to me, I can hear how interested my dad was in me. But because I couldn't see it, because I believed this lie of like, I had to be this, I had to do that, to feel like I'm his son. Now when I'm with my father, I'm like, hey, can I just sit by you? And as I'm sitting with him, I'm actually in his love. I'm sitting with him. I'm enjoying biscuits and tea when I pop in by him. Now when I go, he's like, why are you leaving so soon? I'm like, Dad, but I got to go to work. Or he said, you were only here for 5 minutes. Because when we're with one another, we are in each other's love. I'm not looking to tell my dad how great I am or how special I am or what I did. I'm just sitting there listening to him take interest in me. And often he'd ask me questions. How's Abby? How's this? How's that? I'm like, oh, Dad, I got nothing new to tell you, but I'm just sitting by. And he'll be like, no, but tell me more. Before you go, tell me. Often when I leave, he's like, you're going so soon. And because we have everything in common, the fact that we got Jesus in common far exceeds and will far outlive any hobby that we could have had together. Anything that we could have done as a father and son will always pale into comparison the fact that we got Jesus in common, because he loves God with all his heart and so do I, and that's our commonality. So now that when I'm with my dad, I'm like, I'm in your love. I'm not having to do anything specific. I'm not trying to, yeah, I said that already. Yeah. I really want you to get that. So now, when I see God in some ways the way I see my father. I just sit with God. Yeah. So I'm telling this because sometimes our view of God, like I said, can often be dictated by how we see our parents. So I just gave you an example. Another example would be, you might have had a dad, and he wasn't often around. Or he'd say he'd do things for you, and then when time came, it was always like, and you couldn't really trust. So now when God says, oh, I want to care for you, I want to love you, I want to do all these things, you go in like, I don't know, because your example was, I'm not sure if my dad, who I can see, and here's someone who I can't see, is telling me he's going to care for me, so how can I trust you? So that's an example of how sometimes our fathers could be a representation, or sometimes we see God through the same grid to what we see our moms and dads through, or ideally our dads, for on topic or on example. And the way we relate to God will be based off how we see God. Yeah. So I was chatting to David in the week Joey asked me to preach, and I was like, hey, Dave, I'm going to preach. And he was like, bro, whatever you're going to preach on, you must use the scripture of the prodigal son. So let's use this one. Yeah, the first one, faith, it's Luke 15:31. Yeah, so for those who don't know, the prodigal son, often they always pull the highlight to the younger brother, the one that goes off and the one that squanders and then comes back, and the father lavishes him with a coat and a party and a bribe, basically is what it is. And the older brother's like, you never threw me a party. You never done any of that. And so he says this, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. I read the commentary, like Joey always says, Bible Hub is a good website to find summaries and commentaries. So I was trying to be a good Sunnydale citizen, and I read the commentary. And it said, on this part, it summarized, it said this. Oh, I hope I wrote it down. The Father, it's the summary of that scripture. The Father's resources, love, honor, authority, celebration, kindness, were fully available, but untapped. He just never asked. He was with God, He was with the Father every day, working with the Father. He just never asked. And what God is saying is, if you want a bribe, I'll throw you a bribe. So one great thing I took from my father is that my father is very dependable, like extremely dependable. I can't think, I'm sure all dads do make mistakes, but whenever I needed something from my father, I would always be like, hey, Dad, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? And he was always there in the best ways he could be. So now when I'm relating to God, my understanding, plus the understanding of I'm his son, plus the understanding of like God cares for me, God wants to care for me and look after me. And whenever I reach out to him, he's there. So whenever I ask God for something, I believe that God cares. I believe that everything that I have, everything that he has is mine. So one day I was saying to Abby, we just joined Sunnydale. Well, not just when we were here. Joey just took over Sunnydale. And took over from Lucas. And I said to Abby, Abby, I really want to get a wetsuit. And we were pricing wetsuits. And I was looking at the prices at Hurley. And I was like, Abby, this stuff is expensive. This stuff is so expensive. And I said, I'm going to ask God to give me one. And I went and I said, hey, Dad, please, please, the stuff is so expensive. And the ocean, this is my prayer, I promise you. And the ocean is so cold. And for those who know me, I walk around with a bottle everywhere. And I said, please, Dad, can you give me a wetsuit? I don't care. It can be anyone. Even if it goes half over my body. Whatever you have, please, can you just give me a wetsuit? It's so expensive. I can't afford one. And then one day, Joey, I think it was 3-4 months later, Joey organized a surf. And I was like, and he invited some of us, and I was like, I don't have one. He's like, oh, you can borrow one. And then as we undressed, and he's like, oh, Bastion, you can have that. I was like, I rushed home, and I was like, Abby, I told you, God gave me a wetsuit. And I remember calling him that day, and I was like, hey, how do I clean this in the shower? What do I do? Because I was so excited that God heard me. And I think so often we think when we ask things of God, we're not willing to wait a little bit longer to see if he would do it, so we do it ourselves. And then when time comes, and we're like, yeah, but God didn't do it for me, you just didn't wait. You just didn't wait. So my father was an exceptional example of someone who was dependable. And now, yeah. So how I see God now is, God is dependable. I trust him with everything. I run to God for if not any situation. I'm always running to God as, God, can you bail me out of this thing? God, can you fix this? God, can you help me? Can you give me? Can you provide? Can you sort out? Can you? Because that's what I do with my dad. And that's what some of you guys do with your dad. Hey, Dad, can you help me? And that's the same way I see God. And for some of us, I'm hoping that you'd get this, that God wants to care for you in ways that you can never imagine. In one of the translations in the NKJ, New King James Version. New King James Version. It translates some of the phrases in some of the scriptures. In the scriptures, it translates to loving kindness. And I want to say, God, towards you, has loving kindness. And I Googled what loving kindness was in dictionary, or what Google said. It says it's kindness motivated by love. Yeah, so before I tell you all the other stories of all God gave me and or answered prayer, I'm going to first show you how Abby and I actually live. And then you would see what our prayer life looks like. So, not one day. Last year in February, we shout out to Remax for the best agents that is out there, Uncle Gavin. And so we got a home through Uncle Gavin, a townhouse, and we were so excited to move into our house. On the day that we moved in, for 1 hour, we were 1 hour in our home, guys. As I went to go drop Makanaka and the boys in our car and Sage, were you with me, eh? My guy. We were packing the things into the home, and we left in load shedding. And as I went to drop them at home, I went to still go have tea at your house with you and your dad. See, guys, tea is the common thing here. And then as I came home, I was driving, and as I entered our complex, this old lady says to me, boy, your house is burning down. And I'm thinking, ha, 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 ha. And as I go around the corner, there's just smoke everywhere, out the top windows, upstairs, downstairs, out the sides. The fire truck just entered as I came in, and I'm thinking, what is Abby going to say? What is Abby going to say? And the lady on our neighbor, who also is Josh Jenner's, funny enough, they're in the PM service, my little next door neighbor. And she said to me, can I make you some tea? And just come and sit. And as I'm sitting in next door while they're putting out the fire in the house, I'm sitting there like, what is Abby going to say? Because Abby's not with Abby, we're going to go pick up our cats. Yeah. And I'm thinking, we've just lost everything. Like, on the day after that fire was put out, 85% of all that we had was lost. We only had our clothes on our back. I think maybe one or two bags upstairs and beds. That was it. That was all we had. It was so bad that later on, as we started getting things, you know, when you're looking for scissors, it's like, where's the scissors? Scissors burnt up in the fire. Or when it's like, oh, Abby, where's that? Where's that frame? Or it burnt up in the fire. So that's what happened. So here's this. So we had to pay our levies on the first, which is on the Saturday we moved in. And for those who have bought a home or in some has some experience with that, you know there's so much admin cost, there's so much fees, there is so much of your finances that goes to moving, moving out, lifts, this, admin, lawyers. So we had very little after the fire. Like we paid levies, we paid tithes, we did all, and we probably had just enough to live on with food, because we still had to pay our bond at the end of the month, so we couldn't touch that to do anything. And the insurance guys were only going to come on, so that happened the Saturday, they were only going to come on the Tuesday. So we sat in the rubble, in the ash, in what was our things, which was now is burnt out. We sit there, and Abigail says to me, I don't think we can pay alms this month. And I was like, and I understood. I understood in that moment what she was thinking, because we are the one that needs alms. We cannot give to others. We do not have. And I realized, I said to her, Abby, we love God more than this. And we gave to alms, even though we didn't have. And a week later, I had a friend that emailed me, a very good friend of Abby and ours, Abby and mine. We gave her some money once upon a time, and she chipped and dipped. It was a business we were going to do, and then it just didn't work out, and then she took like a significant amount of money. I think she still owed me at that time 10,000 rand. So she messages me in the week. She's like, hey, Sebastian, I just want to make amends. I want to send you your money back. And I'm like, you don't need to send the money back. We forgive you. We love you. And I send up and reply to the email. And I'm like, and I think to myself, what did I just do? And I haven't even told her this. And I'm thinking, what did I just do? I just said no to 10,000 rand. And I said, I love you. We forgive you. Even if you never send that back, we can't wait to see you again. That was my reply to her. And I thought to myself, oh my days. We need bread. We need a pan. We need a fork. We have nothing. We didn't eat off the floor, but I mean, we lived off the floor in the sense of there was no cupboards, there was no tables. Like what you saw, I don't think you guys appreciate how important a kitchen table is. And as I said that, as I sent her that email, I realized, like when I was an enemy of God, God still showed love and he still came and died for me. And that's the heart to others, even when they owe us, even when they make mistakes. And I thought, oh, yes, God, that is your heart. Even if she never sends that money, I'm cool with it. And she sent the money and anyway, and it worked out. And I want to say this. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all will be added. In that moment, the scripture of Mark. Sorry, I'm off my notes. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. It is actually nicer when Donna reads. I didn't realize how bad I sound. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. The next one. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put into the treasury has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. And this was a moment that Abby and I had where we were like, we don't have, we can't give. But because of our love for God, we said, and we gave anyway. I'm not telling you this because so you can see how I live, and then you can be like, okay, God answer my prayers if I live like that. No, not at all. Not at all. Actually, he is the treasure. Jesus is the pearl of great price. And this is my prayer for us today, that as we see him, as we look at him, as we see how beautiful he is, how lovely he is, that we would say, God, here's all that I have, even the two pennies. I know that I won't make it to the end of the month, but I'm going to give this to you because you are the one that ultimately looks after me. You are the one that cares for me. And in Luke it says, not Luke, I think it's the scripture earlier, it says, my son, the father said, you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. And if I can tell you now, we are better off after the fire than what we were going into the fire. For those who have come and seen, I know Joey often speaks about this massive TV. Yeah, it was God. God gave me the big TV, that massive TV. But I want to say, put the kingdom first. Put God first. Amen. Amen. If you like what you're hearing, guys, we do have a community on a Wednesday. You are welcome. You will experience the life of God. You will be like, oh, Jesus is here. Our camp is open every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. You are welcome to come. You are welcome. Other camp leaders, yeah. Forgot actually, guys. So last time I shared, and I said to you, Abigail does not like sparkling water because she says it tastes like, you remember, electricity. 2 months ago, Abigail's like, oh, I think I like sparkling water now. And now we have more sparkling water in our house than ever before. But she curbs me. She's like, I also love sparkling water. So you can't drink sparkling water if I'm not at home. Only when we both at home together can we drink sparkling water. So I'm too afraid to tell her all the other things I love, like PlayStation, because she might say, oh, I also love that, so you can't do that now. So I was hoping this was sparkling water that I could enjoy, but yeah. Abigail has monopolized the sparkling water in our house. Yeah, let's look at 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Yeah, it says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Abigail had this great idea that she wanted to play piano a couple of months ago. And she was like, oh, we got to save. And I was like, okay, what's the price of a piano? I said, hey, Dave, what's a good price of a piano? It's like $10,000. I was like, oh. And he said, maybe secondhand could be $7,000 or $8,000 with some discounts. And I was like, oh, that's a lot of money. And I said, God, can you give Abigail a piano, please? We cannot afford a piano. We give into alms, tithes. Like, there's no way we can afford a piano for her to learn on. But she really wanted to. And I think she wanted to learn piano because she wanted to play when there was a gap or when there was a need. She could say, hey, I've learned how to play. So that was where her heart was at in light of wanting a piano. And I said to her, let's ask God. I think God will give you one. I said to her, I believed, I had faith. I said, I think God will give you a piano. You don't need to save for anything. Just ask him. And I think 2 or 3, 4 months, maybe 3 months, eh? Even less, perhaps. 2 months. Let's say 2 months. I was walking, I was chatting to one of the omas, and I said, oh, I'm looking for a piano for Abby. I'm just maybe going to see where I can find one for her. And she said, I'll get back to you, don't worry. And I waited a day or two, and she's like, hey, young man, here we go, here's a piano. And she said, you can use it indefinitely. So on the day, I rushed to go fetch it. I go buy this power bank for her, power supply. It was missing a power supply. And I set it up in the spare room. And I say, hey, I got a surprise for you. And often I'll tease Abigail. I say, hey, I got a surprise for you. And she'll look in the cowbell and it'll be nothing. And she'll be like, oh. And sometimes she'll say, I got a surprise for you. And she'll look and then, oh, it's sweets or it's chocolate. And then sometimes I'll be like, hey, I got a surprise for you. You got to find it. And she'll look and it's nothing. So she never knows when the surprise is coming. So this day she comes home and I'm like, the surprise is upstairs. And she's thinking like, I'm going to walk upstairs and it's going to be nothing. And she walks upstairs and she's like, here's this piano that she could learn on. Not one like that, but not like that. A little bit of an older one. And she starts to tear up and she's like, I'm like, why crying? Like, yeah, you should be happy. She's like, no, I am. I just didn't know that God would. I'm like, what do you mean? God loves you, Abigail. Why wouldn't you ask him for a piano? Like, why would you think that he wouldn't do it? And I can tell you why she would think that. For some who don't know, Abigail's dad died quite tragically. He committed suicide when she was very young. So her picture of a father is absent. So when she asks God for things, it's like, hey, God, would you do this for me? But in her heart, she's thinking of how she can do it herself because there's no example for her of someone who'd do it for her. My example, on the other hand, is, hey, Dad, will you help me? I need you. Could you help me? You're a good father. And this is something we want to do because we want to bless the kingdom. It's not personal gain or whatever else. So that's my example of a father. So when I relate to God, that's how I'm thinking. But in this moment for her, she's thinking like, if I ask, I'm not sure. That's why I'm going to save. So when she says, I didn't know you'd do it for me, I completely understand. But I had faith. I said, no, God will do it for you. Just wait a little longer. That's one. Sometimes I ask God for random things. I'll be like, hey, God, I'd like a new Bible, please. Please. But it can be any version. I said this to God one day. God, I'd like a Bible. The one I'm reading is quite... not lame, the Bible's never lame, but I wanted a new version, put it like that. And I said, can you give me a version that you want me to read for this next while, at least? But can you please give it to me? I super love it. For those who don't know, my love language is gifts. So when Joey gave me that wetsuit, I was feeling super loved. And I'm super, 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 I keep everything and I'm very, what's the word, Abby? Sentimental, yes. I'm super sentimental. If someone gave me an old pair of socks, and I'll be like, oh, thanks, bro. I put the socks in my cupboard and be like, the socks Hervé gave me. this is important socks. No one can wear it. I'll wear it on the day where, oh, this is a special day for me. I'm going to put on that socks. Because I just am like that. So when I say, hey, God, can you give me a Bible? I said, I'd love it if you could give me a Bible. And then he gave one, this next door neighbor knocked on my door. He's like, hey, but I got something for you. And I'm like, I'm thinking he's going to give me an old toothbrush. Or because he was moving out. He was in the process of moving out. He's like, I got some stuff for you. I got some things for you. And I'm like, okay, cool. Maybe an old pillow or blanket or books. And he gives me this Bible from America. It was imported. Oh, he was there and he brought it back. The Bible cost 5,000 rand. And I said to him, bro, are you sure? Are you sure that you want a part of this Bible? It's very expensive. And he's like, yeah, no, I just want to give it to you. I feel like, yeah. And I want to say, guys, you can ask God. Ask God if there's a need or there's lack. And wait for him to do it. Just wait for God. I think so many of the time, we don't trust God because we're not willing to give him the chance to be the father who he says he is in the Bible. Just wait for God. Wait for God. And the reason why I was willing to wait for the Bible is because I wanted him to give it. I didn't want to buy one myself. I told nobody. I think I told Abigail, I want a Bible. I want a new Bible. I think I mentioned to her. But I told nobody else because I wanted God to give it to me because I know that he loves me. I know that he loves me deeply. He loves me with loving kindness. Kindness is motivated by love. Second one was we needed a second car at the time because I was going this way, she's going that way in terms of work and this. At the time, our schedule was quite intense. And I said, let's ask God. I think God will give us a car. Let's just pray and ask him. I think we prayed twice, three times. And then I said to her, I believe God will give us a second car. And the fire happened, and we were super wise with the insurance that came and paid out a couple of weeks later. And there was some spare money. And my dad phoned me and he says, hey, Bessie, I got it. There's an old lady that has a car in a garage that she doesn't use. She's the only owner. There's not much on the clock, 120,000 on the clock. She wants just 30,000 for it. And I was like, buy it, dad. If you say it's a good idea, just buy it. Here's the money. Just buy it. You know you are a mechanic. Just buy it. I won't even look at the car. Just send me a photo and buy it. We went to go pick the car up. On the way home, I said to her, I told you God was going to give us a car. You didn't believe. I told you. And it's a thing of, will you wait for God? Will you wait for God to be the father who he says he is towards you? Will you wait for him? And will you believe him when he says he loves you? Will you believe him when he says to you, I will care for you? Just trust me first. Trust me with your first fruits. Trust me with everything that you have. I will care for you. Just God. You just have to believe God. Amen? Amen, amen. So that's one part. Another part is, another part of the relationship would be, sometimes, even me, I fall into this trap. Sometimes we spend time with God because we want wisdom or because we need, what is the next step? And I want to say, just enjoy your relationship with God. Like, just on the example of when I told you about my dad, I'm not looking for this special moment with my father. Being with my father in itself is the special thing. So when we're spending time with God, just be with God because that is all that's important. Sometimes we get trapped in like, oh, I need wisdom, God. I need this, I need that. One day I said to God, I said, hey, God, can you share a secret with me? And I'll tell nobody. I'll tell no one the secret. Today, God told me I can tell you the secret. I said, I'll tell no one, but can you share the secret with me? And in the week, he said to me, it was a couple of years ago, he said to me, I want you to lay down watching Liverpool. And I was like, oh, God, we're going to win stuff this year. You're asking me to not celebrate, asking me to not, you know. And I think it was the year we were going to win the Champions League. And I said to God, okay, I'll lay it down. I won't care about soccer. And that night, I had a dream. And we were playing Barcelona, and I think we were 4-0 down. It was impossible for us to win that game. And then I had a dream, and I was chilling with God in the dream. And we were watching soccer. And Liverpool won that game 4-5. Now, like, Kim, do you remember? It was an impossible result. It was not supposed to happen. And I thought, oh, that's crazy. God, you told me to lay this down, but you and I are watching soccer together. How does this work? And I'm walking in the street, and Keegan's cousin, his name is Vinny. I'm walking to the shop, and I've kept the secret with me. I've kept this secret all this time up until this day. I think I might have told Abigail. Maybe, maybe not. I told nobody this. I'm walking to the shop, and Vinny says to me, Bessie, go kijk wat maak je team. And I was like, what are we doing? He's like, Liverpool, when? And I ran to the house, to his oma's house. I ran, we all watching soccer, and I'm looking at Liverpool, we are beating Barcelona 4-1. That year we lifted the Champions League. And I kept that secret, because I asked God for a secret. And I want to say, more than cars, more than gifts, more than anything you could ever ask is, but you have a relationship with God. You got something of far more value, and that's knowing God and being close to God and having intimate moments with Him that far outweigh, that will far outlive, far outlast anything you could ever have, that He could ever give you. Cherish your relationship. Don't look for special moments. Being with God in itself is the special moment. Amen. Maybe we can get Kyra. Is it Kyra who was on the keys? I really felt God wanted you guys to know that He loves you deeply. That He loves you. And I'm going to read some scriptures out to us. And maybe we can do a response time. We can do some ministry and we can just see what God wants to do. And maybe Uncle Joe can help me facilitate that. But before we go, I'm going to read some scriptures to you. Psalms 139:17-18. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Where were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. And I say, when God thinks about you, and it's precious thoughts, it's thoughts of love. I don't know how much sand there is. I don't have enough to tell you how much He loves you. But thoughts of love, precious thoughts, thoughts of kindness and care to bring you out of chains where you're trapped, to set you free, thoughts of kindness, thoughts of wanting to care for you and look after you, and for you to be a son and a daughter. Zephaniah 3:17 says, God rejoices over you with singing. When God thinks about you, He rejoices over you. When you are spending time with Him, He's singing and rejoicing over you with songs and with love and with care. And that is how God feels towards you. And I felt God wanting to move some of us that are trapped in religion into relationship. And the call today is that if you are feeling dry, if you're feeling like, oh God, I've been doing all these things, but I don't hear you speak back to me, or I want to trust you, but I don't know how to trust you, I want to say, if that is you this morning for this part, just lift up your hand and we'll gather some guys around to pray for you. I really feel that God wants to come and just wash over you again with His love. Come and wash over you again with His mercy, with His kindness. And He wants to show you loving kindness to you this morning. So if that is you, just raise your hand. Thank you. That's one. That's another one. Yeah. I want to say, God loves you. God thinks you are, God loves you so much, guys. God thinks you are epic. I'll read this again for us. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast are the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand.